Thank you. Would you turn with me this morning to John chapter 14? John chapter 14. If you're visiting with us today, we've been looking at, we've been trying to answer the question, what is Jesus doing right now? Right now, what is Jesus doing? In his ascended position on the throne, what is he doing? And, well, we've certainly discovered several things. More could be said, but one of the things we saw was that Jesus Christ is praying for us right now. That was an awesome thought, wasn't it, a few weeks ago? Have you thought about that during the week at all? Jesus is praying for you. Yeah. And then we look at a particular aspect of his prayer. That is that he's advocating for us with the Father. That was an awesome truth. And then last week we tried to get our arms around at least a little bit of the fact that he's ruling over us. So what is he doing right now? He's interceding. He's advocating. He's ruling. Today we want to look at another aspect of what Jesus Christ is doing. As you just saw, he's building. He's preparing a place for us, as he says to us in John 14. So I want to read John 14 to us this morning. I'm going to read I wanted to read the whole chapter, but we just don't have time. We'll read verses 1 through 14. Let's stand together. Let not your hearts be troubled. There, right there, is the heart of Jesus Christ for you and me. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Isn't that a great just message right there of his heart for you? He doesn't want your heart to be troubled. Don't let that happen, he says. Now, Lord, on what basis? Because I got lots of things that are going on that would trouble my heart. Okay, so here we go. Let not your hearts be troubled. By the way, Jesus is moments away from being crucified. And he cares more about your heart than he does his own. It's going to be hard to read this text, isn't it? We can't even get through the first sentence. Let not your hearts be troubled. But Lord, look at what's going to happen to you in just a few hours. But listen, don't let your hearts be troubled. That's his heart for us today. Believe in God. There's a command right there. Believe in God. Believe also in me. We're equal. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas, here we go, struggling Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The word of the Lord to us this morning. Thank you. Please be seated. Jesus now is declaring to his disciples, his followers, that he is going to prepare a place for them, a place. Jesus Christ is a decisive leader. We saw that last week when we looked at how he rules over us. He's a decisive, wise, ever-loving, ever-merciful, ever-gracious, slow-to-anger leader. He is carrying out what was planned before the foundations of the earth. We saw that in Revelation chapter 5 when the Lord Jesus Christ came to the throne, that he who was seated on the throne held in his right hand the scroll, the history of all mankind, the history of all time, the planning of God. He takes the scroll and is now carrying it out, opening the seals and rolling out all of history before us. Jesus Christ is a decisive leader who is carrying out what was planned and written on the scroll. And one of the things that has been written is that he would himself prepare a place for us. Isn't that exciting? I mean, come on. Who's doing this? Jesus Christ is doing this. He's the one who is preparing a place for us. Second comment by way of introduction. This place talked about here. We seek to try to speak of this morning is best described from 1 Corinthians 2 and is a quote from Isaiah 64 where it says, "No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man even been able to imagine." So I'm going to try to take on an impossible task this morning of laying out for us this place that Jesus Christ is preparing. But I do so realizing it's impossible. Because, right, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man been able to even imagine. Here's the Isaiah 64 text. "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him." So the point is this. This place the Lord speaks of this morning is beyond all description in the human language. Well, I mean, what are we going to say right now? This place, why, it's wonderful. Is that going to captivate? Is that going to capture the full meaning of this place? How about we use the word great, mega? Oh, this place. That's going to fall short. We could use the word glorious, abundant, or even step up to that great word, magnificent. They'll fall short. So we must look to the Word of God and ask God to give us faith to believe what is written here. For the plan of God has decided to cause a place prepared for you and I, far more than we can imagine. He who once designed, I don't know, what should we say? At one point in, maybe not even time, it's like Jesus Christ gathered all the angels and said, "Hey guys, today let's figure out how a maple leaf is going to look like in Michigan in the autumn hours." And he figured out how this autumn leaf would look, this maple leaf we've come to love. "Guys, let's gather around. Let's figure out how we're going to make and what granite is going to look like. Let's get that." And he planned it and figured this out, figured that out, and figured this out, so that one day when he but spoke, it was created in 6 days. And now, what is our Lord and Savior doing? What's he been doing these last 2,000 years? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's preparing a place. Is this going to be great beyond all description? I say to you this morning, yes. And may our faith not be so small as to think, yeah, it'll be nice. Nice? We're talking about the creative power of the Lord Jesus Christ creating a place for us. That's what ought to be captivating our mind and attention throughout the week. Not this world. Come on, it's broken in every way. Look at what sin has done to the maple leaf in the fall. It's already been eaten by bugs and diseased. But this place is safe and clean. This place brings comfort and no longer chaos and condemnation and shame. Amen? This is the place I want to go. Number three, just by way of introduction, we all by nature long for, this is the way we've been created. I think it's just inside us. We've been created to want to have a place. Not only is Jesus saying here that he will make a place for us, but listen, the place for each one of us. There will be the place. In my Father's house are many rooms, and one of those rooms is for me, for you, to share in. This is the point Jesus is making. I go to my Father's house, I have a place there. You will come too, and I will be ready for you, and I will go and prepare this very place for you. I am seeing to it myself, he's saying. Right? Maybe you've had somebody ask you to dinner or something. Or maybe even more, you've had someone be so hospitable that they've offered a room in their home for you while you were traveling. And you were like, no, you don't need to do that. I will stay in a hotel. No, we've already prepared the guest room just for you. No, that's okay. No, don't do that. No, we have prepared this thing. And I've cooked a special meal for you. Well, how can you say no to that? You don't say no to that. It would be so impolite. It would be so impolite for us today to say to the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for preparing a place for me, but you know, I'd rather go live, what? Out in the dark? Out in the mud? Out in the barn? No. It's unthinkable. See, we long by nature for our place. I've teased you before about this. You all kind of like, most of you, like to have your place where you sit. Amen, fellow? And I know where they're going to sit in the morning. I know when they're absent on Sunday because I'm like, oh, yep, seat's empty. I don't have to look around. Philip's not here. I know where you're sitting. Most of you, not all of you, but some of you. I tease you about it. It's all right. Because you like to have your place. That's a special thing from the Lord. It's not a big thing. It's not the big thing. But it's a significant thing that he's preparing a place for us and wants us to know that. That's not the big thing. But it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Doesn't it just give you great assurance? Listen, I say to you, it's not the big thing. Because the big thing is the fact that he would even invite us into his home, much less have a place prepared for us, much less be his child. That's the big thing. So maybe it's a little thing, but it's still a significant thing. I remember, I don't know, silly time. We were living in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and the Lord was leading us to move to Raleigh for me to study engineering at North Carolina State. No, they didn't play basketball this year. Now, that's another story. But we're going to move to Raleigh. Well, what do we start to think about? Where are we going to live? Where are we going to live? Right, Sub? We start thinking, where am I going to live? We start worrying, where are we going to live? So we got in a car and we drove from Jacksonville to Raleigh and went all around looking for an apartment, and we found one. You know, put down the down payment to hold that apartment, and then we went back to Jacksonville to get our stuff together to move. But on the way back was different than on the way there, because on the way there, we were kind of, you know, a little worried. Where are we going to live? Where are we going to be? Where are we going to stay? Where's going to be our place? But on the way home, now we knew. Now we knew. And, you know, it was kind of like, I hope this morning is kind of one of those moments when you read this in the Scriptures, that Jesus Christ is preparing a place for you. You don't have to think to yourself, what's going to happen when I die? Where is my soul going to go? And then when my body is resurrected, what will happen then? Where will be my place on the new earth? Where will it be? Jesus has it all figured out. And it's going to be glorious, magnificent, awesome for you. Because that's the kind of God, that's the kind of Savior we have. Amen? Now, let me say this. This place is temporary. This place is eternal. What do I mean by that? This place called heaven is temporary. It's a holding ground. That's what heaven is. You die right now, your soul goes to a holding ground. We make much of heaven. Maybe we don't make enough of the new earth. Because heaven is just a holding ground while we wait for the resurrection of our bodies. Yeah. So this place, new earth, is eternal. The temporary place being heaven, a holding ground, a place of rest for weary Christians. 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away." And just to make sure we understand, he's talking about the heavens, not some, sometimes heaven is referred to as just the planetaries all around us, all the planets. So he goes on to say, "And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." In other words, listen, this is what's going to happen at the last days. I'm going to clean house. I'm going to burn it up so much that I'll have to rebuild everything, which is exactly what he's planning to do. So what will be the planetary atmosphere all about us on the new earth? I don't know. Will it be glorious? Yes. Will it be awesome? Beyond awesome. But the eternal place is called the new earth. Listen to Isaiah 65, probably one of the best texts on the new earth. Isaiah 65, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness." See, if you understand what's going on right now in Jerusalem, you understand how different it is from this text. Because there's nothing but fighting and hatred in Jerusalem. It's all divided up into different sections. You know, the Christians can be over here. The Armenians can be over here. The Muslims are over here. Everybody's got their quarter. Everybody's got their place. But it's a place that's not full of joy and gladness. So when Isaiah says, listen, there will be a time that Jerusalem will be a joy and her people in gladness, that's a huge statement. "I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days." That's a very touching text for any of us who've had miscarriage. "For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity." how many mothers right now in Ukraine are crying out because of the loss of their sons and daughters to warfare. See the difference in this text? There's a vast difference between Isaiah 65 and the reality you and I live in today. But Isaiah 65 is what the Lord's bringing us on a new earth. 2 Peter 3, let me read that, verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be? We are to live in holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens shall be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt and they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for this place, and here it is, for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. That's the third introductory comment. Number fourth comment, it's a question. Here's my question. Oh, I hope you're listening. You know, you go to a restaurant sometimes and maitre d' might meet you and say, did you make a reservation? Right? Because if you didn't make a reservation, we got no place for you here tonight. Right? So that's my question. Did you make a reservation? Is there a spot reserved for you in this place we're talking about? How do you make a reservation? You make a reservation to come to this place by having a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you entrusted your life to Him and asked Him to help you get your eyes off of this place and get your eyes on that place? That's how you make a reservation. Have you made a reservation? Because I'll tell you, if you step up on the day of judgment, you better have made a reservation, or you will be turned away. Jesus Christ has made that very clear, gracefully, mercifully made it clear. So I ask you again today, I'm not talking about the guy across the row in your pew right now. I'm asking you, and I'm asking young and old, have you made a reservation? Now, the fifth introductory comment. We're not looking for a place, are we? It's not our heart. As glorious as all this is, what are we looking for? A person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I don't care if you put me in the broom closet, but put me with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's get to the sermon. Point number one, if you're taking notes on your back, it says the bad news, the good news, the better news. Let me give you the bad news. Jesus makes the statement here in verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go? Underline that two words right there, I go. He's telling his disciples something right now. I'm leaving. That's the bad news. I'm leaving. You've been with me for the last 3+ years, but in just a little while, I'm gone. That's the bad news. In the vantage point, in the understanding of the disciples at this moment, that's why Thomas and Philip, you know, come with all these questions. Whoa, 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 what's going on here, right? The bad news. I've asked myself, what would it be like if Jesus Christ was here on the earth right now? In fact, not only just here right now, but been here the last 2,000 years since his death and resurrection. What would it be like to get on an airplane and fly to New York and see him for a few minutes? What would it be like to walk by sight instead of by faith? Would it not bring many people to believe in him? And the answer to that is no, it wouldn't, because our sin nature would still hate him and the world would still seek to destroy him at every turn of events. But this is the bad news. I go. But wait a minute. Here's good news. To prepare a place for you. So when he says to prepare a place for you, there's two issues here regarding time. The first is the immediate. I am going to a cross. I am going to die. I go now. I leave you. I leave you because I don't want you to die on a cross. I'm going to be the one that dies on a cross. So I'm going. You will not be. Immediately. That's the immediate. The death of Christ is before us. And again, I say to you, look at our decisive leader. He knows what's before him. And his love causes him to march away from his disciples that he might be forever with his disciples. So the other issue regarding time is futuristic. The session of Christ, we said last week, that Jesus Christ now reigns with his heavenly Father on the throne. So I go. He is gone right now. Where is Jesus Christ right now? He's in heaven above. He is gone from us. Yet with us by his Spirit, yes, to be sure. But the good news is he is ruling over us. This ruling protection. No one can snatch us out of his hand. No one can bring a word of condemnation. No one can say, I do not belong. No one can say that to you. Oh, Satan will, but he has no authority to say that. If you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, this place is for you. I don't care what the devil says to you. So stop listening to the devil. Listen to the word of God. You've got a place with him. There is no condemnation for you who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. He's interceding for you right now. That's the good news. He's advocating for you right now. He's saying, Father, I know he's, look at this mess. He's sinning right now. Father, don't look at that. Look at me. Look at the covering of me over him. That's what's happening right now. Over and over and over. That's the good news. He's gone to prepare this place where he continues to intercede and advocate for us, but ultimately will prepare this beyond all description place. But now I have better news. Good news. He's gone to prepare a place. Great news. But like I said, that's not the big thing. Here's the big thing. Here's the better news. I will come again and take you to myself, that where I may be, you may be also. There's the great news. Did you mark that in your Bible? I got it underlined in mine. I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. There's the great, glorious news. Forever and ever will you be with Jesus Christ, for he's coming to take you. There's a powerful word. I'm going to come and take you. I'm going to come and snatch you. I'm going to get you in my hands, and we will never, ever be departed. That's the better news. Now let's conclude. A little more news for now. Number one, he's not going to leave us as orphans. That's the point of the rest of the chapter. He's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And if you'll note in verse 15, he's called there the Helper. By the way, that's the same word as Counselor. That's the same word as Comforter. That's the same word as Advocate. So now we have in John 14, three times the word advocate is used. Each time it's used of the Holy Spirit. Remember previously, we looked at a text in 1 John 2 that said Jesus is our advocate. Now we see also that the Holy Spirit is our advocate as well. Wow, we've got all kinds of people arguing for our salvation. Isn't that great? We have the Holy Spirit. He is our helper, counselor, comforter, advocate. We're not left to be alone while we wait on him who is preparing our home. So let me close with this. It's my understanding, and I don't know all the details, but culturally. When a man wanted to marry a Jewish girl, he'd come and they would get engaged. Okay? And at that point, they were considered married, but not together yet. Well, now what? What's happening now? Well, what? Well, for the next year or so, this young buck goes out and he starts building a house. He might build an apartment on his existing mom and dad's house, or he might be starting his own thing. But he's got some time to build this thing. And so he starts building. And so she's away from him, not with him, not living with him, until this place gets built. The place for her to come and live. And so that same picture is the picture we have now. Jesus Christ has, engaged himself to us. What's he doing? What's he doing? He's preparing that place for us. And you know what he's going to do one of these days? He's going to come back. And he's going to take you to himself. He's going to take you to the place he's been preparing. You ready to go? You ready to go to the place? Because I want to be with the person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So make your reservation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the building work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is working always out of his love for us. Father, that has touched our hearts today, that our Savior loves us so much that he's preparing a place for us. Father, help us not to love this place, for it'll soon be gone, and that'll just be great. So, Lord, come. Lord Jesus, come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.